Chapter 21 of Revelation. Now, don't give up on me. I'll get better as I go along. There'll be no TV taping tomorrow. No need to explain, you know why. But I will preach Wednesday night here, the Lord willing, and Thursday at Pikeville. Just hold that right there a minute, that scripture. Let me make some comments. Would I shock you? Would I shock anyone here tonight if I talked sort of plain and if I destroy some of the fables surrounding heaven and God's eternal kingdom? Years ago, I read a book by Jonathan Edwards entitled The History of Redemption. And the last chapter of that book was devoted to the subject, the great design of God in redemption. What God has purposed and what God has purchased through Christ and what God is accomplishing by His almighty power. And it greatly moved me and greatly blessed me and greatly influenced my thinking about God's eternal kingdom. And I believe that folks have built up some strange ideas about heaven and about God's eternal kingdom. I just don't believe Mother is going to have nearly as important part in glory as we've been led to think. I hear all these songs, "Tell Mother I'll be there." I want to be standing at Mother's grave when Jesus comes in His power. That's a song. Meet Mother in heaven. My mother's worn and faded Bible. Now, I appreciate my mother, and I appreciate my dear wife, who's the mother and grandmother of our children. And far as I'm concerned, we can give them as much respect and love and care and devotion on this earth as we are able to give them. But let's not put her in the place of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven. That's not respecting Mother at all. That's putting her where she doesn't belong. And she's just not going to play that big a part in glory. And I doubt seriously if your dear mother or mine will be our mother in glory. And then secondly, I don't believe these family circles. We used to sing a song. I was a part of a quartet years ago before I found out something about the gospel. We used to sing a song, "Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, by and by. In the land, beyond the river, in the sky, Lord, in the sky." I don't believe these family circles. Now, if you're thinking along this line, you need to get it out of your mind. We need to get our minds in the direction of God's purpose in Christ. And we need to get out of our minds some of these traditions and fables and customs. These little family circles are not going to be joined together in God's presence. In heaven, they're like the angels. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. And these relationships of the earth are not going to be continued in glory. The only relationship that will be continued in glory is that which we have with Christ. And brothers and sisters, right now, you're my brother here, you'll be my brother in glory. If my brother down here doesn't know Christ, he's not going to be in glory. And I'm not going to mourn over it either. And you're not either. We're not going to... I heard another song, I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Can you imagine me turning my back on the Son of God and looking around in heaven for somebody that I knew down here on the earth? It's ridiculous. It's dishonoring to Christ. And it's dishonoring to the gospel that we claim to believe. In fact, I don't mean to be harsh, but if you read the 19th chapter of Revelation, the first 4 or 5 verses, now listen to me. I'm not going to go back and read it, but I just want you to read it later. But we're going to have so much the mind of God. And the mind of God and the thoughts of God concerning sin and rebellion and evil, that we're going to be able to praise the justice and judgment of God when He condemns and destroys even those whom we've known on this earth. Now, I know you can't do that now. I can't either. It's hard for me to preach on hell, let alone be delighted if somebody goes there. Hell is a difficult subject for me to handle. It's difficult. Condemnation, I hate the thought of it. Because I still got this flesh. I'm still not perfectly conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but God will honor His justice in the condemnation of the wicked, and His people are going to be able to say, Amen. Glory to God. As the smoke of her torment ascends up forever, they're going to say, true and righteous are His judgments. If God sends one of your friends to hell, or one of your loved ones, or one of your children, you're not going to take the side of the rebel. You're going to take the side of the king. Now that's true. That's true. I'm just telling you the truth because it's so. And we'll be so conformed to His image that what He loves, we love, and what He hates, we hate. Well, I'll be that way now. David said, your enemies are my enemies. I hate those that hate you, he said. But we just haven't grown that much, have we? And then I don't believe that the Lord intends to pass out rewards to some folks up in heaven so they can boast about what they did on the earth. I just do not believe that. I preached for a fellow one time in North Carolina, a good friend of mine. Preached for him several times. And I preached on that chapter in Matthew, the 20th chapter, where he hired the laborers early in the morning, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock. And the folks that just worked 1 hour, he paid them the same as he did the ones that worked all day. And they got uptight about that. And they said, Lord, said, we worked 12 hours. These fellows worked 1 hour. Did I give you what I promised you? Yes. Well, is your eye evil because man's good? Can I not do with my own what I will? I chose to pay them the same that I paid you. I didn't deprive you of anything. And I told the congregation, I said, in glory, the thief on the cross will occupy just as glorious a place in the presence of God as the Apostle Paul. There's not going to be any difference. There are no degrees of glory. If a man's like Christ, he's like Christ. There's not degrees of being like Christ. There are not no degrees of being loved by Christ. There are no degrees in glory. We're all the same. We don't labor here for rewards. Christ is our reward. And actually the word rewards, plural, is never used in the Bible in reference to the people of God. Our Lord said to Abraham, and your reward, and your great reward, and your exceeding great reward. Ain't nothing better. And it's not only foolishness, it's ignorance of the Word of God to talk about a bunch of people being rewarded in heaven for what they did on earth. I haven't done anything. When we've done everything we ought to do, we're still a what? Unprofitable servant. I am what I am by the grace of God, aren't you? He's not, and the preacher, after I got through, and we started home together, I noticed the car was kind of quiet, you know. Two preachers sitting in the car, and the car quiet. There's something wrong. I said, what's wrong? He said, you know, we've been friends for years. You've preached for me several times. He said, it's the first time ever I've disagreed with anything you've preached. I said, what did you disagree with? He said, well, I just believe we're going to get rewards in heaven for what we do. I said, well, called him by name. I said, what do you deserve? He said, I don't mean me. I mean other people. I said, now come on, you mean you. That's exactly who you mean. That's what's got you upset. Oh, my. I tell you something else. I sort of doubt that the hillsides of glory are going to be covered with a bunch of palaces and mansions. I sat down the other day and I thought, where did we get that mansion idea? We sang a song, a tent or a cottage. Why should I care? They're building for me a mansion over there. 25 rooms and 6 baths. You know where that came from? John chapter 14. Our Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. That's what that word is. Dwelling places. Isn't that right? It's not talking about palaces and castles and mansions. And honestly, folks are preaching that the size of your mansion will depend on what you sent up there to build it with. Now you think about that. You see where this sort of thing leads? It's an awful, ungracious, covetous position. Well, let's look here at Revelation 21. And let me read this and make 5 applications. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Preacher, what is God's great and grand design in this new kingdom? It's all things new. I'll give you 5 things quickly. You can write them down and study them from the scriptures later. number one. And I want to get in harmony with these five things. Number one, God Almighty will glorify Himself. In all that He does, He will glorify Himself. Let me show you some scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and while you're turning there, our Lord said in John 17, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. That was Christ's object. That was His end and goal in whatever He did, to glorify His Father. Isn't that right? Glorify me, sustain me, uphold me, help me, that I may do what? Glorify thee. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. When it's all finished, when this covenant, when this kingdom, when this redemption, as all through the blood of Christ been accomplished, then shall all things be given up to the Father, that God may be all and in all. There's no doubting that, is there? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in God's presence, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, nor the wise man in his wisdom, nor the strong man in his strength. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knows me, that I am the Lord, and there's none else. God's going to be glorified. And I say, if your religion does not glorify God, leave it. If your faith does not glorify God, forget it. If your gospel does not glorify God, drop it. If your methods do not glorify God, quit them. If your way of life does not glorify God, change it. If your friends do not glorify God, get new friends. If your church does not glorify God, quit it. If your preacher does not glorify God, don't listen to him. God will be glorified. Amen. Turn to Ephesians 1. Let me show you something here. Oh, when you get on this subject, you can't let it go, because the whole scriptures are full of it. In Ephesians 1, listen to this. It says here in verse 6, of Ephesians 1, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. Why did He accept us? That His grace may be glorified. Look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Look at verse 14, talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the earnest, the pledge, the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. That's why God chose us. That's why God called us. That's why God saved us. That's why God raised us, that His glory might be praised. All right, secondly, God's going to glorify Himself. Will glorify Himself. 100%. Secondly, God's going to put an end. He's going to put an end to everything contrary to Himself. Now, this is so important. Like Bob said a while ago, we're going to bow now or we're going to bow later. But God's going to put an end to everything contrary to Himself, contrary to His glory. in his perfect holiness. I may have told you this story. I told it down at Cherokee. Brother Barnard, my dear friend, Brother Barnard, was born in Alabama and grew up in Texas. They had a little spread of land in Texas and had some animals, some cows and so forth. And Roth had a dog. He had a shepherd collie dog. Called him Old Shep. Crazy about that dog. And he said that dog, he and that dog were inseparable. Everywhere he went, the dog went. The dog would help him go out and bring the cows in. He said one afternoon, he came home from school, and Old Shep was lying in the yard, and he went running toward him, and he said Shep always wagged his tail and smiled at him. Yes, you know how a dog can smile? They do. They look at you and smile. And when he ran toward Shep, he didn't wag his tail, and he didn't smile, but he growled. First time he ever growled at him. And Ross said, I noticed white stuff coming out of his mouth. I said, scared me. And I ran in the house. And I told my daddy, he said, Daddy, something wrong with Shep. And his daddy went out there and he just stopped on the porch and looked at him and turned around, wheeled around, came back in the house and went to the mantle, got the shotgun down, threw it open, shoved some shells in there and clicked it back and started out the front door. And Ross, just a 12-year-old boy, 11 or 12, said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to kill your dog. And Ralph grabbed his dad by the arm. He said, you can't kill my dog. He said, son, if I don't kill your dog will kill you. I got to get rid of him. Now, that's a simple story to illustrate this. If God's going to have a kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness, if God's going to have a kingdom where nothing can enter in that worketh or maketh a lie, if God's going to have a kingdom of people just like Christ, where there'll be perfect holiness, no death, no tears, no sorrow, no pain, no theft, no false thoughts, no evil thoughts, nothing, not even a thought or imagination or a dream contrary to God's perfect holiness, then God's going to have to destroy every spirit, everything, every person, every creature that's contrary to that perfect holiness. Is that not right? If I don't kill your dog will kill you. And if Almighty God doesn't get rid of, if he doesn't plunge into a bottomless pit, into an eternal separation, into an eternal place of condemnation, everything and everybody that is not totally conformed to and totally in agreement with, listen to me, and willingly in agreement with his character, then you'd turn heaven into hell. Now, if God took you to heaven objecting to his sovereignty, it'd be a problem up there, wouldn't it? You'd have the same thing up there we got down here. If God took somebody to glory who wants to share Christ's glory and bring in his righteousness instead of totally, completely submissive to, you have a problem. You got a thought different. Isn't that right? You got a different thought. You got a different attitude. You got a different idea. If he brought in somebody that wasn't in agreement with his love and his grace and his mercy and his glory and willing for him to have it all, but here's a fellow that wants his mansion and wants his recognition and wants his crown and wants his glory and not willing to put it at the feet of Christ, you got a problem. That man is going to mess up heaven. And you're going to have the same blooming thing we've had for 6,000 years on this earth. And God ain't going to have it. That's just it. That's plain, isn't it? But that's just the way it is. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Let me show you. And like Ross Dad explained it to him, he said, son, this is what has to be done. I don't take any pleasure in depriving you of your dog. God forbid. I don't take any delight in shooting your animal companion. But I've got to put that first, which is first. And that's your well-being. And Almighty God's going to put that first, which is first. The glory of Christ Jesus. And any competitor he has for that glory, he's going to put it away. That's just it. 1 Corinthians 15, listen, 24. Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. He must reign, we're talking about Christ now, till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Are you his enemy? Boy, I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I don't care if you're here tonight, you're 5 years old or 50 or 75. I don't want to be his enemy. I'm not his competitor. No, sir. Our God's a jealous God. He never share his glory. And I don't want any part of it. Do you? Give it to him. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Is that true what I'm saying? All right, thirdly, quickly. Turn to Ephesians 1 again. One day, God's going to glorify himself perfectly. One day, he's going to put an end to everything contrary to himself. One day, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, in Christ, not in the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church. Not in the old-time religion or the modern vernacular. Not all things under the law and good works and righteousness. All things in Christ. Ephesians 1, listen, verse 9. Verse 9, listen. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he's purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, that's folks that are already there, and which are on the earth, even in him. My brethren, back before the foundation of the world, he loved us in Christ. Back before the foundation of the world, he chose a people in Christ. Out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. That's what Ephesians 1 tells us. And he redeemed them in Christ. He said, Christ down here. Christ said this. All that my Father giveth me will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he's given me, I'll lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. We were redeemed in Christ. We were called to Christ. We were accepted in Christ. We're made righteous in Christ. We're forgiven in Christ. We're seated in Christ. And someday, says here, he's going to gather together in one, all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on this earth. Even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Fourthly, God Almighty is going to glorify himself. He's going to put an end to everything contrary to himself. He's going to gather to himself all things in Christ. And then he's going to make his elect like himself. Did you know that? Turn to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. He's going to make us like himself. 1 John chapter 3. That's what predestination's all about. Election has to do with people. Predestination has to do with what those people are going to be. You see, he chose us in Christ, and those whom he chose in Christ, he already predestinated, predetermined that they'd be like Christ. Perfect and conformed to the image of Christ. And he works everything, every event, every step, every trial, every thing that happens in our lives, he's working these things out to make us like Christ. That's our predetermined end, predestined. All right, look at 1 John 3. Beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world doesn't know us. It didn't know him. Are you surprised they don't know you? They didn't know him. Are you surprised they don't love you? They didn't love him. That's right. But beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What's God going to do? He's going to take this corruptible and make it incorruptible. This mortal, make it immortal. This weakness and make it strength. This shame and make it glory. This person and make him just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven will be populated by people who love the things that Christ loves, enjoy the things that Christ enjoys, with the same thought of total submission to God's absolute holiness. Is that right? We'll make him like himself. All right, here's the last thing, and I'll close. In Romans chapter 8, God Almighty, and you know it just sounds a little arrogant for a little old peanut human being to stand up here and talk about what God's going to do. You know, I get real uptight about even trying to do that. And if he didn't have these things written so we could read it and just give you what he said, I know these things are so. He's going to glorify himself. He's going to destroy everything contrary to himself. He's going to gather to himself everybody in Christ. And he's going to make like himself those he gathers to himself, or they couldn't stay with himself, could they? And then he's going to give them a place to live. He's going to give them a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, sir. Let me tell you something. There's not a thing wrong with this earth that wouldn't be corrected if you take sin out of it. I tell you, this is a beautiful earth. I can stand and look out my window over there on that hill where I live and look this way, and this is a beautiful, beautiful place. The trees, the sunsets, over the other way, I know where west is. But it's beautiful. And we're the trouble. We're the problem. We're the problem. That's what our Lord said. It's not what you put in your mouth. It defiles you, what comes out of your mouth. You get people off this earth, wouldn't be a thing wrong with it. Just get all the people. All of them. But I tell you, God's going to destroy this old earth and that old heaven, make a new heaven, new earth. It says here in Romans 8, listen. Verse 19. Now you read this like I'm reading it, and you take your pen and change it where you have to. Because this is right. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, to sin, to death, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. He's going to change it. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We're waiting. Waiting for what? For the adoption. What's that? Namely, the redemption of our body. That's what we're waiting on. And those trees out there, and those rivers, and those mountains, and those valleys, and those streams, and those pasture lands, and all these things God made, and those mountains, are waiting for God to restore them to their beauty. Take sin out of us, and sin out of the world. And we're going to walk right here on this earth. That's right. That New Jerusalem I read about, where was it? In heaven. Where is it coming from? Heaven. Where is it coming to? It's coming down out of heaven. Where? To the earth. We're going to have a new earth. We're going to have flesh. Not this flesh. Glorified flesh. We're going to eat and drink and enjoy the things God has made. It'll be better than the Garden of Eden. For the Garden of Eden had a cloud over it. But that cloud's gone. Christ put it away. And this new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, will have no possibility of ever being changed because of what Christ did on the cross. Isn't that right? He purchased for deliverance. Well, I hope that's a blessing. All right, Mike, come and lead us in a closing hymn.